Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 36, Episode 2 of Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For June 19th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jacko Butt Stuff. That is courtesy of our producer, super producer Anna Hosnier, who will be joining us later. So I always like to, you know, put the runway down for her. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hi, everybody. It's Miles, a.k.a. Yuya Osako, a.k.a. Kagawa Shinji, a.k.a. Nakajima Mairusu.
And that's in honor of the Blue Samurai, Team Japan, winning today against Colombia. I'm sorry, Alejandro Henao, who was talking to me on Twitter, you know, today, Japón es mejor. So, shout out to y'all, though.
The Blue Samurai, eh?
Mm-hmm.
That's the name?
We could do better than that, but that's how these nicknames work.
You guys wear blue? Is that?
No, we wear red.
Oh. So really, just a
clever
name.
Yeah, no, yeah, we wear blue. We wear, come on.
Okay.
You see me wear a Japanese jersey in here all the time.
Oh, that's true. I do. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious actress, YouTuber, and podcast host, Miel Bredo.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I supposed to talk now?
You are.
Well, hi. And now go.
Oh,
yes.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited
that's
to have
honey,
you.
Right?
It is honey.
Okay, I just want to make
French
sure
and
I'm not
Spanish.
Being problematic on the air.
What did you say?
I was like, hi, honey.
Do you think it's problematic to call people honey?
I think patronizingly, if I was like, oh, hi, honey. Like, you know.
If you said it like, hey, honey, I'm like, oh, okay.
All right, thanks a lot, honey. Jack, you were saying? Jack, take it away, bro.
No, you're good. You're good. It means honey.
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you in one moment. But before we do, we like to tell our listeners what they have in store. Up top, we're going to talk a little bit about ABC and the wonderful show The Bachelor, super producer Anna Hosnier knows everything about. We're going to talk about the Carters album and the album release. We're going to talk about families being torn apart at the border again, and just Fox News's reaction. We're also going to talk a little bit of about the Koch brothers fighting public transit, just all sorts of Republican goodness. We are going to talk about the rapper XXXTentacion, who was killed yesterday in Florida. And we're going to get a sports update from Miles. Mm. But first, we like to get to know our guest. And Miel, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, no.
No big deal. Just, we're going to be judging you.
Oh, no. Everything in my search history is embarrassing, honestly, because it's phrased like... You know, Del Taco, vegan.
Right.
I never write in complete sentences.
Of course, no one does.
Right. Or like, Los Feliz, best. But probably the worst one recently is vegan Taco Bell.
Vegan Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Is anything vegan there?
Were you disappointed by? Oh, there is?
No, there's a lot of vegan stuff at Taco Bell. I actually looked it up only to choose what looked the best.
Okay. Oh, wow. And all right, Taco Bell.
I know. It's disgusting, though, that I spent that much time thinking about it and then still ended up at Taco Bell.
No bell shame out here.
That is true.
It's like first degree Taco Bell.
Yeah. First degree Taco Bell. I like that. Yeah, usually Taco Bell is something... that you're like an unconscious part of your brain takes over and you just find yourself with like wrappers on your lap
in
the parking lot.
Like it's similar to bringing Taco Bell home and like unwrapping it and eating it on a plate. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that.
Wait, I do that. Wait,
no, you do not.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a subconscious part of your brain takes over. It's my birthday or I got a raise or something.
Yeah, but that's
I go
a special
to Taco
occasion.
Bell. That's what I mean. That's what I do. You know, today I might, you know, celebrate Juneteenth. I might go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, there you go.
But Taco Bell, wait, what's vegan over there? What can you get?
Okay, you want to know the best thing to order?
Beans and rice?
No.
In a burrito?
The best thing, hands down, is the Crunchwrap Supreme. But you sub beans for beef, and then you take out the cheese, you take out the sour cream, and you add in potatoes.
Wow.
It is so good. That and then obviously, really like, good. Drench it in hot sauce.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. You earned the coveted Owen Wilson wow from Miles.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God, thank you. What is something you think is overrated?
Space.
All right, done.
I'm what is staunchly something you think- don't like space, man.
What do you mean, like the outer space?
Yeah, like why do we commit so many resources to fucking space?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Space is cool, but I don't think we should be spending that kind of money on something that's kind of for fun.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
kind of for fun.
Yo, space is so much for fun. I've been out there like 3 times this year. It's not that great.
I'm just saying, like, at some point, we're just being like, can we do it? Oh, look, we did it. $20 billion later.
It is, by definition, nothing. It is just nothingness.
Like, it's interesting.
Now there's garbage flying around at the speed of bullets.
Which wouldn't be there if we hadn't gone there in the first place.
But space, I mean, there are deep secrets in space. For example, the Juno probe going around Jupiter. Jupiter holds the secrets of like the formation of our solar system, but we don't know yet.
How did knowing the secrets change your day-to-day life?
Well, for example, I mean, a lot of things like the camera phone, digital cameras are a gift to us because of NASA. GPS stuff is a gift to us because of NASA technology. A lot of technology we have on Earth is due to NASA. I know what you mean in terms of like, I think when you think of it, and I don't mean to come in here and be like, well, that's not right. But
that's not right.
No, Henny, let me tell you about space real quick. But yeah, I think in terms, especially when you see now like all the rich people fighting over trying to do it with space, I'm like, my God, we have so many problems on Earth. Like,
right. And also the ocean.
Yeah, right.
We've still never been to the bottom of that. And that's way closer than the moon.
We know less about the ocean, right, than we do
that's
the surface of the Earth.
That's not okay, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see some dinosaurs, and I'm pretty sure they're down there.
Almost definitely.
I want to see a dinosaur more than I want to know the deep secrets of space.
Well, this is topical because Trump just announced that he is, like, officially going forward.
Space Force
is...
isn't, like, Star Fox the captain of that?
I
like,
think so, yeah. Exists,
right? Honestly, yeah. And his...
I think Falco is.
Yeah. Falco, maybe.
I think General McMaster was like, this is a dumb idea. Like, specifically on the record as being like, this is not
like, don't
a
need
good
that.
Thing. But, you know, because the inside of our president's head is a Saturday morning cartoon from the early 80s, he's going full steam ahead. I think he announced it during a press conference where he was talking about like border security.
That's such interesting timing, isn't it?
I know.
He's so been
weird.
Talking about he's like, Space hey, look Force up there. For a minute, though. There was that one time when he had a bunch of Air Force cadets around him and he said it, or maybe actual people, enlisted men in the Air Force, and he mentioned Space Force, and motherfuckers are laughing behind him.
They're like looking to each other like he really is.
Yeah, one guy's like, yeah,
and
they're
shit.
Like, yo, he said it. He said, you owe me $5.
Like, right, because these are the military are the most like realistic. You know, they're
space woke,
right? But they're also not like they don't have their fucking heads in the clouds. They're not like sitting there thinking about like making pew pew sounds the way the president does
right,
when he's like running around playing with
that'd be amazing,
playing with the ball that Jeff Sessions gives him.
When are we gonna have a TIE fighter? Right, I want that now.
Literally, what he's asking.
Have you heard the sound that it makes? It's like a screaming thing. It's like ah! Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that like everybody who is not him has called it a tremendous waste of resources.
Yeah.
And it's always the Republicans who like want to just go in
they don't
all
like
in on
science
space.
Because it debunks their dumb fucking ideas.
Well, are they supposed to be fiscally conservative? I don't
know,
understand
but that's
this
what
at
I'm
all.
Saying. They're supposed to be fiscally conservative, but they go all in on space shit.
And, oh, they do? Really?
Yeah, Reagan had Star Wars.
Oh, right, right. But fucking, I mean like okay, I guess I'm thinking in terms of like the Congress now because we really was just well, like yeah, no, NASA doesn't need
can
any
you backtrack
money.
For a second? Reagan had Star Wars. Did he make Star Wars?
That was all his idea, and it was secretly his way of introducing this idea so Trump would eventually make space.
Okay.
No, it was his plan to create a missile shield that shot down nuclear bombs that were flying towards America or nuclear missiles from space.
So an alien also develops nukes in this scenario.
It's basically the like some manner of U.S. It was a huge waste of resources.
Interesting.
Once again. Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
I you think sincerity.
Oh, damn. Oh, sincerity.
Mm. I think like obviously I'm in the comedy world and it's not cool to be sincere. And especially like with the digital age, I think social media being sincere is like so easy to just rail you to the end of the earth with that, you know? Mm-hmm. But I kind of think that it should have a comeback. I think 2018 is the year that we get back to being sincere and not like inherently making fun of
Give
it.
Give me an example of how you're seeing a hostile attitude towards sincerity.
Okay, so like I was on Vine and there were some Viners that like, I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but they would post stuff just kind of like 6-second inspirational stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Just being like, hey, no one can erase who you are except for you. So like, don't. Yeah,
right,
it's not
right.
like necessarily the most eloquent inspirational speech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to this day, I see her vines getting retweeted just so people can like lambast her. And it's like thousands and thousands of replies. And it's just
right.
like, dude, look at what you're doing. She was trying to like help some maybe at-risk kids that followed her.
Right, right, right.
And you're like, oh, what a fucking idiot, dude.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just the medium too kind of betrays that because it's
yeah.
like,
Six seconds.
Guys, don't worry. No one, like, don't compare yourself to other people because being the best version of you is the best thing ever. Hey, guys, don't worry about being like other people. Like,
right.
that loop,
yeah, yeah.
like, slowly you'd be like, I don't know if they're saying words anymore.
Right, right.
That is a very good
yeah.
point.
But I yeah. guess, yeah, sometimes the sincerity thing is just, maybe it jars people too much. Like, I'm here for sarcasm and not real shit.
Yeah.
I'm here to escape. Even if it's something positive, I don't want to be reminded of reality.
Yeah,
yes.
like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is funny, but, like, do we have to be so mean about it?
Yeah, no,
Can't
yeah.
you, like, laugh in real life without ever having to share that you're making, because
yeah.
then you're straight up a bully.
Yeah, yeah, no, for real.
You're straight up bullying.
Yeah, if you're putting your energy into, like, tearing some shit down, that's
yeah.
not a good use. That's
yes.
that's you're putting out negative energy
you're
by being like,
valuable
I don't want to turn this
yeah,
turn this thing
energy.
Down. You know what I mean? You can just, if you don't like it, then just keep it moving.
That's what I'm thinking.
Agreed.
Put your energy on yourself. Focus on yourself. Worship yourself.
And
you
not
know,
on
talk
space.
About how good you are.
Well, it has been settled. No more sarcasm, the internet. And finally, what is a myth? What's something you think is true that most people believe to be false?
Okay.
Or the other way around, I forget.
According to every one of my hetero girlfriends, they think that uncircumcised dicks are gross or like not preferable.
Uh-huh.
They're wrong.
Okay.
They're straight up wrong.
All right.
Yeah.
Uncircumcised dicks are the best type of dicks, in my opinion. And I have told...
Can we get a horn for that, Nick?
There you go.
There you go. For
I
the
have,
turtleneck crew.
I have been preaching this to my girlfriends forever, and so many of them have these opinions without ever even having encountered one in the wild. They
mm-hmm.
don't even know what they're talking about. They've just been fed the rhetoric. And I've been like, no, trust me, give it a shot. They have. Every single one of them's come around.
Give it a shot. I think, yeah, it's a weird culture we live in this country. Right. Where, like, most other places, circumcision is more tied to a religious belief. Than
it
like,
is here, too. We just don't know that.
Right.
The history of it is totally religious.
No. But I'm saying even, like, in other countries, like, it's specifically there where people here are just like, yeah, like, let's circumcise the kid. Right. Where it's not necessarily.
It's hygiene.
Like, right. It's like, so is this for a bris? Like, no. Just, I think it's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His dick looks funny with a little hat on.
We're all humans out here. You know what I mean? Right.
I mean, I'm coming out the gate hot.
Yeah, you're coming hot. This is going to be...
This is my opinion.
Right.
Take it or leave it.
Well, yeah, look, do what you got to do. But you know what? There's no reason to shade the uncircumcised.
Yeah, right. Do what you want to do.
It's just something people aren't used to.
And I think so. In this country, though, especially because, like, you go into Europe or, any other place, they're like...
Right.
They're like, oh, are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, no. Exactly. The rest of the world does not understand.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they should have to. It's a weird thing we do.
As we have this discussion, I was just kind of looking around about the prevalence of circumcision. And it looks
not
like...
Not something you knew off the top of your head, sure.
No, off the top of my head. Hey! So the rates vary widely from countries, apparently. So like 1% in Japan to 2% in Spain, and then upwards of 58% in the U.S. and more than 80% in Muslim-majority countries. So it's out there.
Oh, wow.
But there are many countries where people still keep the PP intact.
All right, we are going to get into the stories of the day, and we are bringing on super producer Anna Hosnier. She is our bachelorologist. We'll go with that. Anna, what's going on in the world of The Bachelor? Because you came in and just politely offered, actually. You were just like, I would talk about The Bachelor if you made space for me.
I'm pretty sure I threatened you outright,
yes.
But
okay.
Sure,
that's
politely
what it was.
Asked. Yep. Thank you so much for having me. You know, as you guys know, I produce a Bachelor podcast. I'm sure I've never talked about it before on the show.
You also host a great podcast on this network called Ethnically Ambiguous.
Let's go back to your
appearance on this show.
Hmm?
Hmm? The Bachelor.
Right. So let me tell you, if you watched last night, it was a doozy. And if you don't watch... That's fine. Your life is probably great. But this season and past seasons, there's been a serious issue with the casting. And I read Bachelor Nation by Amy Kaufman. As I do, I read all Bachelor-related
things. You do Bachelor Scholarship.
Mm-hmm. That I do.
Yes.
And something that's really started to bother me lately is I know for a fact, this is known research that people have done on this show, that ABC, the producers of The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, do aggressive background checks on all the contestants. That's how they do it. You fill out like this huge questionnaire. Then they bring you into a room and they have a producer ask you a bunch of questions. This is before you're even chosen to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring you into another room that's filled with all the producers that are going to work on the show. And then they like basically spit fire questions at you. Mm-hmm. And then they have a PI look into your background and try and, you know, they do a background check on you. They look for everything.
So they like look at your social media history,
they look at
presumably.
Everything.
Like they, if they're going through your garbage with a PI, they're presumably looking at your social
media.
Right.
And they ask you, they say, what do you need to tell us that will potentially come out later in tabloids or something that we need to get ahead of?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for people to hide things. Like about last Bachelorette was the first Black Bachelorette ever on ABC because there you go, ABC.
Anything but colored people.
Exactly.
We know that one.
Exactly. They had a racist on the show. Basically, he had this Twitter, a public Twitter where he tweeted a bunch of like anti-feminist, basically anti any sort of minority rhetoric.
He made it past a PI?
Yes, he made it past, which you know, that's the problem is the vibe they give off is these producers want good TV.
Of course, that's the
problem because it's like you let a racist get on a show to compete for the first Black Bachelorette because you know it's going to cause problems.
It's
and
drama.
they denied this to day one. They were like, we had no idea. But it's like, how'd you not know? His Twitter is public.
They're like, how'd I find it then?
And he, you know, his whole thing was he was just like getting in fights with all the other African Americans on the show. And it's kind of like, okay, cool. This is a problem. And
that's
on this season?
This was last Bachelorette.
Okay.
So, but that's what brings me to this season. Is they currently have a sexual offender on the show and a guy who on his Instagram was liking like transphobic and homophobic and like anti-immigrant, and was like liking posts about how David Hogg from the Parkland shootings is a crisis actor. He liked a post for like feminazis, and then like a post of a like a border patrol person throwing a kid back over the border, like stuff like that where you're like, what the fuck? Right. How did this get by you guys?
Right.
So I looked into it because I was like, yeah, okay, ABC, you didn't see this coming. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the guy who liked all those posts, front runner on the show.
What?
So that's a problem. He got the first impression rose from The Bachelorette, and she is gushing about him. Last night, she was all about him. And we're all sitting here watching like, uh-oh.
Right.
This is the state of the world we're in.
Oh, right. Is this just them choosing like actually representative people from the American diaspora? Just choosing like, well,
no, we're not in the bubble.
40% of the people in this country believe this, so might as well throw him in there.
Well,
and
yeah,
she might end up having sex with him.
She's from Minnesota, and she likes him because he likes hunting, and he's an outdoor boy,
oh, yeah.
And he's a great time. But that's fine.
Do you know for a fact that she's not also into those same
no,
beliefs?
No, she's like a known like Hillary supporter.
Okay.
She's always posting pictures. She posts a bunch of pictures at the march. Like, people have been talking about this. Like, this is not who she is. She's not one of those. Like, she's not, those aren't her interests. So it's
okay.
Very interesting.
Mm.
I don't know how he does in this season. Right now, it doesn't feel good because he's a front runner. She really likes him. It makes me very uncomfortable because clearly she doesn't, on the show, which was filmed like a few months ago, she doesn't really have a sense of anything. The other guy who's a sexual offender, he was arrested before the show was cast.
For what? Do they know?
It was battery and sexual assault. And he has to go to like AA because he's an alcoholic. He also has the rumor that he like shits in toilet paper nests. And last night he revealed he was a flat earther.
So there was so much going on with this guy. So you just like kind of glossed over the shits in toilet paper nests thing.
Okay.
Like that was just a thing that people do.
Okay, he worked
at
Oracle.
That's what stood out to you? Not the sexual offender and battery
on a dating show?
Guys, he also was trying to convince a bunch of people on the show last night that the earth was flat.
Yes.
There's so much wrong with this dude. His name is Lincoln.
I know
that
there are flat earthers. I know
there
are sexual offenders. I did not know, prior to you sharing this with us, that there are people who are nest shitters.
So he worked at Oracle, and this was something that came out after he got on the show, that his coworker said that he doesn't like to, I guess, his butt to touch toilet seats or something.
Mm.
So he takes a bunch of toilet paper
and puts it on the seat.
He doesn't put it on the seat, he puts it on the ground.
Okay.
And makes a little like a pile, a nest, and then he shits on that nest.
Okay.
And then I put it on the ground.
Then I guess he disposes of that. But multiple people who work with him saw this happening in a stall at their work, and then someone took a photo, and that's how it became legitimized. Because people would be like, that's not
There's
real.
There's photo evidence of shit nesting?
Yes, Reality Steve has it. I haven't gone to look because I'm not ready.
Yeah. No one's ready for that.
But it came out in a tabloid where they were like, this is weird. And then everyone's like, yeah, he's known as shit nester in the office. Or something like that.
He sounds like an actual goblin,
but he's like a really hot dude who's super buff. And
are
it's
you
so
excuse
weird?
Me?
It's no, it's not. It's
he's
not
the
because
hottest
he
sex
doesn't
defender.
Come off. he has more like psycho. Like what's his name? The character on Psycho.
Norman Bates.
No, not Psycho.
American Psycho.
American
Patrick
Psycho.
Bateman.
Yes, he comes off as that where he's like together and he's like attractive and he's like buff.
Oh, he's talking
but
about
has like this.
That's the most
insane,
scary.
Insane, like weird stories. He's a flat earther. That I was blew my mind. I was like, of course he is. Why
is
did
he
we
the
not
one you
see
were saying
coming?
Looks like a blend of Dwayne Wade and?
That's what Miles said.
Oh yeah, because when you texted us yesterday, you're like, the dude on the Bachelor's a flat earther. I turned it on and I just caught the end of it. I'm like, it looks like Meek Mill mixed with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Again, I looked it up further because I was curious, and ABC, you know, had to put something out because you can't really. It came out that he has this charge and he has to register as a sex offender, and he got sentenced for a year in prison, but was able to push it to 2 years probation if he like follows all these rules that the court gave him. And they said that sometimes agencies only focus on criminal records and don't look at civil filings where some domestic violence cases pop up, and other times a potential contestant has jumped from location to location, so it's harder to track down their full record. And the network sometimes ignore what they might see as smaller crimes, like shoplifting or possession of marijuana. And they say Bachelorette has a well-respected and highly experienced third party entrusted with the background checks, but they made no mention of this guy's arrest.
Yeah, they're the same people that vet all of the White House cabinet nominees.
Right. Yeah.
And apparently, Lincoln, this guy, didn't mention it himself, because why would he if he didn't have to?
Yeah, if anything, he was probably... I thought I read some stuff that he was also trying to be as deceiving as possible to try and get on, too.
He's
right?
a creep. He's already cried on the show. He's real weird.
Wait, wait, a dude crying?
Wait, hold on. Get me a bucket. I'm going to throw up. A dude crying? Come on.
No, I mean, fuck that.
The reason he cried was really weird. Like, he got a picture frame. That he won a competition on the show. The Bachelorette gave him a framed photo of himself and the Bachelorette, and he was like taunting all the other dudes by kissing it and being like, this is my future wife, like being real weird, and all the dudes are like, fuck you. And so one of the dudes took the frame and just tossed it, and then he went to the Bachelorette and was like, my photo. He's also British. My photo.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's gone. And I feel
this guy just keeps getting better. British? Yeah. Come on.
Is this a real person?
Yes.
I know. He's amazing.
Yes. He's great television.
So shout out to Lincoln and shout out to The Bachelor, because that's actually some drama that I've never seen where, like, somebody is just wildly politically problematic, but you're watching somebody like fall in love with them and not know.
It's so frustrating. But it's like, especially after the situation with Lee on the Black Bachelorette Rachel season, you think they would really try and
It's ratings. It doesn't really strike me as, I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, like, anyone who's been around a reality production knows, like, it's about maximum conflict. And just trying to make the most mundane shit seem as high stakes as possible.
They are the network that canceled Roseanne. They are also the network that put Roseanne on in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is they try and come off and be like, well, we canceled Roseanne right away. We are not standing for this kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that show exists. Also, another thing is they just dropped that show, The Proposal, which straight trash. It's literally about a man who sits behind like a wall where you can't see him, and he just basically chooses women who he wants to propose to within an hour. The show's only 60 minutes, for the most part, based off looks and then very basic questions like, do you want kids? And like, it doesn't make any sense. So, ABC.
Have you ever sexually offended someone?
Yeah.
First
what
question.
Is your are you an offender?
Have you beat a woman before?
It would be great if that was literally the first question every time.
Yeah. It's a mess out here, ABC. Right. Get it together.
All right. Thank you, super producer, Anna Hosnier.
No problem. Here all week.
We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old.
Oh, yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Miles, first of all, I want to wish you a happy Juneteenth.
Well, it's not just for me. You know, just because I'm black doesn't mean Juneteenth is just for me, my guy.
Miles, I believe it's pronounced Juneteenth.
Yes. Juneteenth is, you know, also known as like the second Independence Day for Americans, which celebrates basically the day the last of the enslaved Africans in this country got word that they were actually freed. So, as we know, the Emancipation Proclamation happened in 1863, but it wasn't until 1865 where, like, word finally reached these group of people in Galveston, Texas.
That's fucking crazy.
Yes. And, like, when I forget who, it was like these Union soldiers were just making their way through and just kind of being like, hey, just so y'all know, shit's over.
Didn't they show up on a ship?
Yeah, they were on it because it's on an island, on Galveston Island. Oh. But basically, it's a day to observe the ending of slavery formally, but also to take a look at our freedom, right? It's a celebration of freedom, and that's why I say it's not just for black people, African Americans in this country to just be like, okay, this is the day for slavery ended. It's really a reminder about freedom and how important that is, especially in this country. And I think, yeah, no better day than today, I mean, to bring this up. Obviously, Juneteenth will always be Juneteenth, but
right.
Considering the situation in our country right now where we are basically jailing young children and holding them against their will and tearing them apart from their families.
Yeah.
It's very important to think about what this country stands for. Obviously, slavery and sort of this unnecessary incarceration is unnecessary and not part of the fabric of this country. Although, if you look at our criminal justice system, you would say otherwise. But on paper, we would like to think that we are a country that stands for freedom. And yes, you know, I just remind everybody that this is all about understanding our freedom, what that means, and just how valuable this is. Because, yes, like I said, in the context of what is going on in our country right now, there's no better time to remind ourselves of that is truly what one of our values is in this country.
Yeah.
It's the land of the free and the home of the brave. On paper.
On paper.
In practice, it's, you know, we're still fucking up, but we're moving towards that direction, I hope. Yeah. Although the last few days have been not great.
And you're saying people besides you celebrate this Juneteenth?
Yes.
Besides you and the characters on Atlanta?
Yes. Huh. I mean, look, it's not that I'm expecting white people to have Juneteenth parties, right. But I don't want to.
Could they? That'd be weird, right?
You don't want to categorize it as like, oh, that's not for us. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no,
ultimately,
totally.
The meaning of Juneteenth is not just about slavery. It's about freedom. And freedom applies to
yes.
everybody.
Of course.
Yes.
So we do want to talk about the shitty, awful things happening on the border, just as it becomes kind of the main story that's being covered in the media right now. It's kind of amazing because we're existing in a new media environment now post 2016 election. And this is, you know, everything is just ramping in opposite directions. Like in the past, you would have a scandal. The world would respond to, you know, just whatever horrible thing happened. And then the people responsible would be sent reeling into recovery mode. And, you know, they would come up with a way to apologize. But because our president is on a steady diet of, you know, his own racist propaganda machine, he is just straight up doubling down. Like today, yeah. He talked about how Democrats were responsible for this policy. Now he's just straight up breaking out the fucking racist, not even dog whistling, really, just like straight up racist
shit.
Police whistling.
Yeah.
Like saying that Democrats want the world to be infested by immigrants.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's just straight up, like, that's how Hitler thought of Jewish people as like vermin that needed to be exterminated. And he's straight up using that sort of language. And the optics on Fox are just fucking incredible.
Yeah, Fox is wow. I mean, we've seen over the last few days, there have been a few Republicans, conservatives come out who can call this situation what it is. It's inhumane, it's immoral, and it's a stain on the history of this country. But you have to keep in mind, Fox is just merely a propaganda machine for this party, and this party is focused on the midterms, and their strategy is to normalize all this shit and basically whip up their base into a frenzy over immigration. So, yes, yesterday on Fox, they really hit some fucking new lows. First up, Tucker Carlson, a.k.a. Fucker Carlson, just came off top with, I thought he was basically going to say the 14 words after like this little bit that he went into yesterday on his show.
Because no matter what they tell you, this is not about helping children. A lot of people yelling at you on TV don't even have children. So don't for a second let them take the moral high ground. Their goal is to change your country forever. And they're succeeding, by the way. Their kids go to private school if they have them. Their neighborhoods look exactly like they did in 1960. No demographic change at all, just like they like it. There's no cost to them. The cost is entirely on you. But don't complain or else they will call you Hitler.
What the fuck are you saying, my man? Yeah. First of all, what the fuck is this shit of having to be a parent or father of a daughter or so-and-so?
To have empathy?
Yeah, exactly.
Just basic human empathy?
I don't need a fucking child to look at a crying child being torn from their family and say, that is fucked up.
That's not good.
And I don't want that. And I don't want to live in a country. I don't want to support a government that has that as a policy.
Also, like, those same people are anti-abortion for the sake of children.
Right.
Those same people believe in heaven and hell and don't see that they would certainly go to hell for this.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's insane.
What's funny is the Methodist church that Jeff Sessions belongs to, like a bunch of members of the church, including clergy and other leaders in the Methodist church, sent a letter to the Department of Justice to be like, yo, this is fucked up.
Good, see?
Because we are seeing that, but that's not enough. We need more people to speak up. Anyway, regardless of this, this idea that he's now even trying to kneecap the idea that, like, you know, they're inoculating their viewers to be like, don't let them, like, get you with this, like, humanity shit.
Right.
You know, they don't have kids. And then when he goes on to describe sort of the scenario that a lot of these white conservatives want, which is they don't want the demographics to change.
Right.
He was describing sort of what the critiques of progressives are on sort of white conservatives, but trying to sort of flip that back on to the people who are so disturbed by the policy of ICE and Homeland Security. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the complaint that Democrats don't have kids is just very strange.
Well, they have nothing. They no longer have real arguments to counter like what's being presented.
There's no way to justify this.
No,
even a partisan issue. There's no way to justify voluntarily separating children and imprisoning them and keeping them in cages in order to use it as a bargaining chip to get what you want for a political. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
And then also Democrats generally think, you know, things growing more diverse is a better way for the country to go and tend to live in more diverse communities. And it's a bizarre, I don't know. It's like just kind of ignoring, like, I understand his point that some progressives sort of are hypocritical in the sense that they send their kids to private schools but then vote liberally, but that doesn't mean that they're not allowed to criticize people for fucking
right
tearing families apart.
And also the people, like, he's on TV, like Laura Bush, was criticizing you or was criticizing this thing and she has children.
You think those girls are her kids? Come on, man.
Or Ted Cruz even is about to introduce legislation to try and end this family separation policy. So again, I'm sorry. That's just so disingenuous. And you're just now at this point, even more so, just blatantly gaslighting your viewers into just sort of like abandoning their humanity to just to act as a shield for this administration.
It feels like a movie. It doesn't feel like real life.
Right.
It feels like we've dissociated.
Well, right. And then next was, I think he had the head of ICE on his show and was kind of talking about this comparison because a lot of people have been saying, how is this any different? We're separating families. This is despicable. It's like, this is very similar to what Nazis are doing. But this is the defense of this policy from the head of ICE.
You've heard prominent people compare your behavior to that of the Nazis, to that of the Roosevelt administration and turning the Japanese during World War II. How do you respond?
I think it's an insult to the brave men and women of the Border Patrol and ICE to call law enforcement officers the Nazis. They're simply enforcing laws enacted by Congress. You know, I wish that there was this much outrage about separation of families. I wish I heard this much outrage when we met with angel mothers and fathers whose children were killed by illegal aliens, Jewish citizen children killed and separated from their families forever. I never heard this outrage. So I think people on the Hill need to straighten themselves out here. Let's protect American citizens as much as you're fighting for the illegal alien.
Mm. Wow.
As okay. if the children are responsible for the murders.
Also, when they say, what's your response to people comparing this to the actions of Nazis? And then you use the superior orders defense from the Nuremberg trials.
Right. Just following orders.
We're like, they were filing. Right. I'm sorry.
First of all, we're just upholding the law of the land.
This is not.
Unlike the Nazis. Got it.
So they have no agency. Cool.
Right. Yeah. So, yes, that was another just take right after that where you're like, oh my God. Like, this is how they are. This is how they're choosing to defend this. On Fox with all of their viewers.
Do they watch Star Wars and sympathize with the stormtroopers?
Oh yeah, I mean, right? So many were needlessly killed when the Death Star was destroyed.
They were just following orders. They're not bad guys.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I sympathize with his misconception that illegal immigrants are responsible for like just all the murders in America because he watches Fox News and Fox News. When a person who is in the country illegally commits a murder, that is, you know, the first story and the last story that they report on. They want people to think that immigrants commit more murders, even though immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than people who are already here.
Right.
So that argument is actually just completely fucked.
Well, and that's all they've been using are deploying really, really just non-fact-based ideas when defending this policy. Like, I know Jeff Sessions was like, well, you know, there's so many more families coming to the border. It's like at historic lows. There's just a lot of just misinformation to just essentially justify their racist policy of inflicting as much harm on immigrants as possible.
There's this thing in psychology where like people project when they have an internal problem they're not willing to deal with, they project that problem onto other people around them. That you've all probably heard of. But I mean, the older you get, the longer you live, it almost seems like a weird thing in theory that like is almost too sort of backwards and counterintuitive to be true. But the longer you live, the more you see that that actually happens a lot, that like people will have a problem and then be like, well, that person is clearly, you know, whatever their problem tends to be. But I feel like with conservatives, you kind of see that. Like, if you look at the things they were afraid of during the Obama administration, it was like these FEMA camps, which were, you know, that they were going to put conservatives and children in camps, like in the middle of the desert. And they were like taking pictures of cities. They were like, Obama's going to put us all in tent cities. And now they are actually putting children in tent cities. Like, that's
Circuit cities.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The
abandoned Walmart cities.
It just continued on Fox last night. Next was Laura Ingraham, who I don't know. I'll describe this as a generous description of the facilities these children are being kept in.
Yep.
More kids are being separated from their parents and temporarily housed in what are essentially summer camps, or as the San Diego Union Tribune described them today, as looking like basically boarding schools.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So let's just listen to some audio from these children being sent away to their summer camps by some agents at the border.
Mama. Bueno, aquí tenemos una orquesta.
So that's a girl crying because she's been taken away from her mother and father, and, you know, other children around her crying because they're being taken away from their parents. And the ICE agent is saying, we've got an orchestra. All we need is a conductor, because all they're crying is sounds like instruments. So not only are they, you know, tearing these families apart and doing what almost all psychologists agree is long-term harm, that, you know, even if the children aren't crying at first, which these children obviously were, but even some of them aren't, that's, they're internalizing the trauma of being, having their family torn apart. They're not only doing that damage, but they're then mocking the children, and, you know, making fun jokes like, hey, we have an orchestra, let's get a conductor in here.
How can you guys listen to that? I, like, it's just that that's
there was another clip I heard earlier today and it fucked me up.
Yeah, it's if you are empathetic at all, you can't listen to that and not be fucked up.
And take it
Wait,
from me,
but do you have kids? I didn't know that you had kids.
I have kids I don't acknowledge, right? But either way, no, I mean, for real, this is, it's so fucking dark. Like, yeah, that we are doing, I mean,
voluntarily and
voluntarily
needlessly.
And it's just to, again, terrorize these brown people. I, obviously, you know, the capitalist machine relies on the labor of these people in a lot of certain situations,
yeah, they,
too.
Yeah, they're out of avocado farmers now in Santa Barbara.
Right. They're, well, millennials, write that down. But this is all a part, just such a blatantly fucked up policy. And when you look at all these Republicans sitting on their hands and not doing anything about it, like, just now people are being like, I'm going to introduce a bill. But, like, from the beginning, you couldn't just, the partisan politics of this whole thing is really what's the most disturbing to me, because right, you had all the Republicans just lockstep with being like circling the wagons, being like, okay, like, let's just try and, you know, obscure this problem as much as possible, and hopefully people won't realize. But this is precisely the whole playbook of the Republican Party at this point, is to just whip up a bunch of xenophobic, racist fear, yes, and tension in their voters to motivate them,
yes,
to go to the polls in the midterms. Because all they're looking at in the midterms is, well, we're going to, before it was, hey, let's talk about the tax plan. Let's talk about the massive wealth redistribution we just did to the top 1%. And maybe people will love that. I mean, but let's be real, that did fuck all for people. So, and it's not very popular that they're kind of like, okay, well, what's the next best thing?
We seem to have a lot of favor with white supremacists. Maybe we should lean into that.
Right. Yeah. Maybe we can turn out this group of people.
Yeah. And I mean, because the people who oppose immigration tend to live in communities where they don't encounter immigrants and are like cloistered into these homogeneous, like all white communities, they just never see the value of right, diversity. And, you know, they've found, I've talked about the study before, but I think it's just a really good metaphor for just the entire problem, is that, you know, Republicans tend to live in these homogeneous communities. And the study found that people who are in homogeneous groups, like where it's all white men, they tend to be both more confident in their ability to solve a problem with other white males, and also like way worse at solving the problem than people who are in diverse communities where they're getting other points of view, and it's more difficult and it's harder to, you know, take those into account and change your own thinking, but they're actually better at solving problems when right, you have diversity. And I just think that you have these communities of people who only ever see people who are like them, and they just, you know, assume that
they use their imagination.
Right. And they assume that them and all the people around them have come to the right conclusion about all these people they've never met before.
Yeah.
And they just go with 100% confidence. And I mean, there are communities that are changing who, you know, Tucker Carlson and Trump might specifically be talking to when they talk about, you know, they're not seeing this problem, but you guys are. But the fact, first of all, that you think of it as a problem is just, you know, awful. And also, you know, there is voting data that suggests that the people who in the 2016 election thought that immigration was the biggest problem were people who were least likely to have met and spent time with immigrants. It really is like sort of this self-sustaining ecosystem. Like I just saw a story this morning that the Kochs are fighting public transit and like all these attempts. If you've ever been to Nashville, Nashville is like the new smaller Los Angeles in that everything is just gridlock because all these people move there because Nashville is a really cool city. And so they're trying to put in public transit systems to make it less gridlocked. And the Kochs are fighting that. And public transit is one of those ways that you come into contact with people who aren't necessarily exactly like you.
You ride the bus with people. You ride the subway with people. And they're less of an unknown. Right. Not the idea of a brown person is not nebulous to you. Right. When you see somebody like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you're not robbing me. Right. Like Fox told me you would.
Right.
Like, I strongly believe that anyone voting against immigration or like asylum should just spend a day with some of these people, hear some stories, and just consider their perspectives. I guarantee you every single one would support immigration.
I talked about this a while back. There was a show in Australia called Go Back to Where You Came From, where they grounded up a bunch of sort of these like xenophobic anti-immigrant people in Australia and said, okay, you're about to live how they live.
Yeah.
And most people, I think first a lot of people were in denial, like, you're just trying to get me to feel bad is what they would say at the beginning. And then eventually most people fully broke and were like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, I get why you would get on a boat and risk your life and your family's life, because where you're coming from, you know you have no chance.
No, the stories I heard working in the restaurant industry in Los Angeles from all my coworkers, like, this shit is real. Like, so many people I personally know watched their families be murdered in front of their eyes and came here just to try to live.
Right.
It's not like they're like, I want to steal the jobs. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's a great distraction for people at the top to be able to always paint another group as the actual source of their problems. Not because all the wealth is being siphoned up at the top of this country. Right. It's easier to go, the problems are, it's all these brown people. That's why even Tucker Carlson says, like, they're not paying the cost.
Right.
You are. And what is that cost you're even describing? And see, that's where they're creating this, like, this zero-sum game where more immigrants in this country or more people trying to seek asylum in this country equals less abundance for everyone else.
Let's call a spade a spade. They're preserving the cost of having a single brown person in their community.
Right.
They want everyone to look like them. They want everyone to eat like them, to shop like them. They don't want to see like an Ethiopian market in their neighborhood. That's literally it.
Well, yeah. And as he said, these people don't want their demographics changed. No, a lot of these anti-immigrant people don't want their demographics changed.
Right.
And I just want to point to a few things. When there was a story in the New York Times today where they're talking about specifically about how immigration is probably going to be the new midterm strategy for the Republicans. And that's a problem because for House Republicans that are in districts that are a little more diverse, you're not going to have a good chance. Like the House, people in vulnerable House districts are not going to have as good a chance. In terms of like the Senate math, which is what they seem to be prioritizing, that may work for some races. It's just not a good strategy. And there was a quote from one of these Republican strategists and a former Trump aide when they were like, don't you think it's a little bit, using this like sort of xenophobic or immigration fear to like motivate people? Isn't that a little dangerous or like not the best thing? And this guy says, quote, it's an issue folks are emotionally attached to. I know that upsets some people in the donor class, but it's the reality of where the party is. That to me, I'm like, wow, they even know. And they're like, honestly, this is just to keep this machine moving.
It's going to come down to turnout, though, because, I mean, Trump's approval currently is at its highest point in his presidency.
Right.
So, I mean, there are enough people in America who are psyched about this or psyched about what he's doing. I'm sure part of that is from the North Korean summit where he didn't get literally a single fucking thing for us. But
he degraded us as a country.
Right. Yeah. But I think, it's really going to come down to there are people on both sides, and it's really going to be who is most motivated. And
to actually go vote?
I think it's going to have to be the highest turnout in the history of the midterms for anything to change.
Absolutely.
Fingers crossed.
But I've seen a lot of really smart people say, you guys are going to be shocked at how low turnout is in the midterms. So let's not let ourselves be shocking. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and there is news in the hip-hop community. Jay-Z and Beyonce dropped a surprise album over the weekend yesterday as we stopped recording and had like our longest episode ever, we realized we didn't talk about this.
Yes.
That is shame on us.
Well, that's also because fucking Jay-Z and Beyonce still insist that we get fucking Tidal. I'm right. Sorry. I'm
it's not. It's not happening.
It ain't happening. Not even for you, Beyonce. I'm right. Sorry. But you know what? Thank you for finally relenting and putting it on Spotify.
We appreciate it.
And everywhere else. They're really trying to make Tidal happen. That's...
I know. They're still sticking with it. And like some of the lyrics and some of the songs are specifically about like how they don't like, need
streaming
services.
You think I can fuck about my stream numbers? I'm like,
right, Spotify numbers and shit.
But you know what? Like, that's a vibe for Beyonce. She can say that. So
yeah,
I'm not mad at
it's great.
I'm not mad at it. I'm just like personally, I'm like, look, if you don't put it on Spotify, I'm going to have to download that shit illegally.
Ape Shit is a great song and the video is cool as fuck.
I couldn't believe it.
I know.
They're straight up in the Louvre.
In the Louvre. They rented out the Louvre.
Yeah.
How much do you think to rent out the Louvre?
Millions, for sure, dude. Imagine how much they make it admission every day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
the bad press it would give them to be closed.
They'd be like, okay, can we shoot from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m.?
Right.
maybe.
Off hours.
They could have, yeah. I mean,
like when you rent out a supermarket.
And that you can just get it for like 50,
I think $15.
Yeah. $15
or
an hour.
€15.
Which is actually more than $15. So yeah, it's probably around that.
Okay.
Oh, actually, Super Producer Nick Stumpf is telling us that you can Google how much it costs to rent out the Louvre. And first of all, when I Google how much does it cost to rent out the Louvre, I got an Airbnb response. So like they thought that I was just looking to rent out the Louvre. Apparently, this is way more approachable than we thought because it is $17,500.
For the day.
To rent out the Louvre. For,
wow.
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, let's get it. GoFundMe. Zeit Gang, here we go.
Have they like not changed their prices since the Renaissance?
Oh, okay.
Like,
and welcome to Art Jokes with
hey!
Jack O'Brien.
Oh, I mean, come on. With inflation what it is, am I right, folks? But yeah, that doesn't make any sense. They really could probably do a little better than that.
Based on like how it's being worded, it sounds like almost like the idea that they will just walk you through the gallery and just kick the regular people out. So you can
like
enjoy
a room
the,
at a time.
Yeah, that way. Because right. I mean, 17.5, like they're probably double. Well, who knows how much they're taking in ticket revenue? So I'm sure that's just like if you want the baller tour, it's 17.5. If it's production, talk to our coordinator.
Yeah, it feels just on a couple listens, it feels like sort of a Beyonce album with ad libs by Jay-Z here and there. Like she's a fucking great rapper at this point.
Are you surprised?
No, she's
not. No,
right?
Not at all. But like, it's also not what she chose to do before. And now she's just like, yeah, I'm going to be fucking great at rap.
Yeah, she's like,
and,
let me just out-rap you on this album. Yeah.
I would love to see one thing she's bad at. Just one thing.
Kendama.
Yeah.
She can't rock the kendama, the Japanese sort of ball and cup thing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's very fine motor skills.
You had to reach so far to find something.
I know, of course. Because I honestly think if I was like, she couldn't... she
skateboard?
Couldn't, yeah, she couldn't, you know, unclog a drain, or like, you know, fucking add some piping to this sprinkler system. She probably could do that.
She probably could.
Kendama, I feel like, might do it. Shout out to the homie who hit me up about kendama. But the one song, what's that song? I think it's called Nice.
Yeah.
It's like where Jay-Z is trying to rap like these new sort of swag rappers where they do like, nice,
but he over enunciates.
Yeah, like, and I got ice.
Right.
And it just sounds.
Yeah, usually like Migos like wouldn't pronounce any
like,
of the.
Like it wouldn't be, but it sounds like an old dude who's like, oh, I let me show you, young man.
I will
ice,
flow
ice,
like that.
Ice. And I'm nice.
That sounds like my dad rapping.
Yeah. It does sound
like
that.
It kind of felt like that. I mean, look, Jay.
He is a dad now.
He doesn't have to do anything anymore.
And he does barely anything on this album. So I think he was like, yeah.
Did you listen to the whole thing?
I've listened to all the songs. But
okay, I got maybe 3/4 of the way through. And it just sounded like, yeah, it feels... I wonder if Beyonce was kind of like, do you want to be on an album?
Like, had to, right?
She's like, you're just sitting at home all day. Like, do we need to do something? Do we need to do a project?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, well, your hair is all outgrown. I don't know. You haven't been to the barber in months. You're looking like a bad version of Childish Gambino, the old version. Now, what's really good with you?
It'll just be a Beyonce album.
Exactly. She's like, okay, we'll call it the Carters. How about that?
Really?
Yeah. Will you get up? Will you go to get a haircut?
Will I get to rap like Migos on it?
Yes, I'll even get them to feature. All right, fine. I mean, yeah, I honestly feel like nobody's going to be able to be on a track with Beyonce like that and not just feel like an afterthought.
Maybe like a couple years ago.
Yeah,
maybe.
Of course.
It could have worked.
Yeah.
O3 Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah, that worked.
Post-Lemonade, I don't think it's happening.
Post-Lemonade, especially not Jay-Z's ass post-Lemonade.
Sorry, bud. I'm still not ready for him. I'm still mad.
And I think that is your right. I think that is all of our
opinion.
Rights.
That is my fucking right.
As fans, we can take our time forgiving him.
Also, I want to commend the Carters for basically just sunning the shit out of Nas. He put an album out on Friday.
And Kanye.
And then the next day it's like, oh, Beyonce and Jay-Z have an album now. And then it's like, oh, but everyone was going to talk about my album. So,
Do you think they were just sitting on this album, just waiting for like,
for that Nas album to come out?
Somebody they disliked enough and they were like, ooh, Nas and Kanye.
Right. And they're like, They're like, them. We can block out the sun.
Right, exactly.
And you will live in shade eternally.
Imagine
I don't know.
The live show also. Like, she's out there singing her ass off, rapping her ass off, dancing her ass off, and he's just, like, kind of rapping, sitting. Like, yeah, what right. is that going to look
he
like
for
him?
He shows up, yeah, with a suit on with no shirt on underneath.
It's just, you can't hold a candle to that.
Yeah. Anyway, I just...
The On the Run tour worked, the first one. Like,
yeah, but that relied pretty heavily on like visuals.
Yeah, yeah.
When,
yeah
I mean,
yeah.
like a Beyonce oh, show, sure. like half of it is just her.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
the visuals are great, but like her dancing and like set and costume changes is like yeah, all I of mean, it.
I'm not saying it did not take a lot to make it work. a lot of sacrifices on Beyonce's part, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel.
Are you going?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm going too.
We're going together.
No, we're not.
Oh.
That was so romantic.
Are
never,
we?
Never mind.
Bay. Really?
Wow. I got six tickets.
Oh, man. I was joking when I said that. You really bought them shits? Oh, okay. eBay.
Triple X Tentacion is dead. He was only 20. He was a huge hit with much younger people. He's
yeah.
also wildly problematic. I'm not sure that there's a whole lot to say, but.
Yeah, it's a hard
music...
one to talk about. Because on one end, you never, like, this person was murdered. That's
yeah.
awful.
It's inherently tragic.
Yeah,
and at 20, inherently
yeah, and at
tragic.
20, it's just a bad thing. And
right.
it's just, I was really wrestling with this, not even, like, about the feeling bad about the murder thing, of just how to even address this, his work or whatever. Because, yeah, he, you know, the allegations about him were, like, some really awful abusive shit.
And homophobic.
Homophobic. He beat like a gay inmate up like in prison, bragged about
and
it.
And bragged about it in an
yeah.
interview.
Yeah, he's it's an odd
girlfriend.
Thing where, yeah, he
pregnant girlfriend
was mm-hmm. but then his whole sort of popularity was sort of based on him trying to show his potential for growth after this. And
right.
And obviously I believe in any person's capacity for growth. But it was just an odd thing to see a lot of young people sort of overlook like
yeah.
what these allegations are from people who were victims of him
yeah
of his and just be like, well, no, he's not doing that anymore. And I get, and even if he wasn't, I get that. It's just, you know, a lot of people were, you know, there have been takes on the internet where people are just like, yeah, fuck that, fuck this guy
right.
or whatever. And other people are like, this is so tragic. I think Jadena posted something that was sort of just like, you know, if Malcolm X had died at 20, he would have died like a robber, abuser, drug addict or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's not saying not to compare him to Malcolm X in any way. But, you know, the story can never be fully written at that age.
Yeah, if you were murdered when you're 20. And I mean, he also there's reason to believe that he didn't really have a chance because, I mean, like one of his first crimes was stabbing someone when he was 6. So like he did not come
deeply
from
troubled.
A place. And you know, I also just feel like we need to talk about it because we, you know, talk about the zeitgeist on this show. And if you look at the top songs on Apple right now, he has 4 of the top 5, and you know, the Carters, the Ape Shit is like number 2, but he has the other top 5. So like, there is a lot of, you know, feeling out there for this dude's music.
I don't know though, because like I agree with everything you guys are saying, but also I'm like, imagine how you must feel if you were one of his victims and
yeah.
this is happening.
Yeah.
Do you seriously. Know what I mean? Like, I don't understand this martyring of people once they're dead. Again, it's tragic that he was murdered at 20. That's true with anybody. But like, I didn't really see people going out like this when like Bin Laden was killed. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
like someone's death isn't inherently like forgive what they did.
Agreed.
No, yeah. And I think the broader conversation around his death is just sort of inherent. I don't know, like how younger people are even viewing an artist's work based on their art. From people my age, I think whenever the first time we heard of this artist, I was like, I can't believe this is like
yeah.
young kids are letting this guy rock like
right.
this. Like,
yeah.
And supporting this and just sort of, you know, I guess younger people are much more, they get much more invested much quicker in the sort of cult of personality around an artist
yeah.
or a certain celebrity.
It's like YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that happens with like a lot of Kanye fans who came up with even the craziest conspiracy theories to try and explain his weird comments and shit like that.
Right.
Where, yeah, like it's, I guess some people, when you connect to something, it's very hard to acknowledge that there's a lot of darkness around this artist. I just,
Just don't ever like anybody that much.
Yeah,
right.
That's
exactly.
the solution.
Everybody's yeah. terrible.
I wouldn't be
only
surprised.
Fuck with Mr. Rogers. Boom.
True.
Seriously, that is it. Mr.
That's
Rogers is the one guy who's just like,
I'm getting the Mr. Perfect. Rogers face tattoo after this. Fucking right on my cheek.
I would not be surprised if, like, neighbor. This generation coming up right now, if there isn't, like, a huge counter to, like, ours of being, like, so socially aware and empathetic that they're like, actually, fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't care what you did. I don't ever want to hear the word problematic again. Feminism can suck my dick. Like, I would not be surprised if that is kind of the thought of a lot of young kids right now.
Yeah, I think it's, I hope not.
God, for I hope starters. Not,
I mean,
too.
Like, most polling shows that, like, as the younger and younger you go down the, like, sort of spectrum in terms of, like, 18 just voting age people, they're very much more empathetic
good.
And about yeah. progress than
good.
And I mean, I think there is backlash, but even within, you know, your generation, our generation, there's, like, young people who are, you know, alt-right and
true.
All that shit. So it's
person God, to person, maybe.
I hope not. But yeah, I like when you look back over time, you know, the 1920s, the KKK had this huge comeback where they were almost a legitimate political party and they brought back all those Confederate statues and all that shit. But then they just died off like by the 1930s and people like came to their senses. So even if there are these, you know, outcroppings of count,
yeah,
you know,
I could see the appeal too if you're younger too, that you could look at somebody, and I'm not defending him or anything like that, but if you're very myopically viewing him as someone who did bad things and can be better now, and you only take that's a message that some young person would like, at a certain point too, you also have to, you know, come to grips with what these allegations against him,
right?
And
have you seen the pictures of the yeah. girlfriend? Like, yeah. that's, I don't know. That's harder yeah. for me to swallow than, like, but it bangs, though.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, I can't be like, yo, it slaps.
Yeah,
yo,
like, no, I mean, can't.
Tupac did some problematic shit, too.
And, yeah.
You know, we were.
It's not surprising.
Right.
Right? That we're, like, so quick to forgive shit if we yeah. like the
well,
music.
Well, music is the weirdest thing, man. Yeah. Like, you look at how long people rock with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And
still.
It's, yeah, still. and like even when Spotify was like, no, and like yeah. there was backlash where they're like, oh, sorry, I guess we shouldn't be suppressing his music in our algorithms. Like, yeah.
All right, let's move on to.
This is such a fun episode. I know. To be honest. Thank you so much.
Oh, you think this is bad?
This is part one.
but we do want to check in real quick with El Mundial.
What?
World Cup.
Oh, the World Cup Day.
Yeah, the World Cup Day, baby.
Oh, get your vapes out. Get your vapes out. Put your sun shades on. Okay, well, World Cup date from Miles. Pretty straightforward stuff. England played Tunisia yesterday. We weren't able to talk about that because that match was happening as we were recording. And England pulled off the win. And honestly, they look really good. I was really surprised by this England team. Normally, they underperform in the World Cup, to say the least. But this group of young guys, my goodness, they looked great. Special shout-outs to, I mean, Jesse Lingard. As much as it pains me to say this, he played really well, as did the rest of some of the Spurs players from Tottenham. Anyway, but yes, England looks really good. But I was reading some, like, rumors on Twitter that, like, a lot of the national team, they're, like, avoiding Russian hotel food because they're very worried about poisoning.
Oh.
So, wow.
Yeah, not, like, death poisoning, but just, like, give you the shits poisoning.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
like Jordan flu game poisoning.
Exactly. Or the Arsenal lasagna chef, which is a whole other thing. But yes, so they've been avoiding Russian hotel food. Like, their nutritionists are making all their meals, and they're like, they don't want to touch the mini bar. But
wow.
Again, that's a rumor. We'll see what that means. The other thing I want to bring up was Japan, Nippon, because yes, this morning we played Colombia, and last World Cup, Colombia knocked us out of the tournament, and James Oof. Rodriguez scored one of the goals of the tournament, like a solo goal that made the Japanese look foolish. But you know what? We came back today strong. We were focused. Also, Colombia helped us out because one of their players got sent off like in the first 5 minutes for just blocking the ball with his hand as the shot was going towards the goal. So, yeah, can't really do that, my guy.
Wait, you're not supposed to do that?
Unless you're the goalkeeper, no.
Right.
Yeah. Did he okay. mean to?
Yeah. Like,
he just was like, fuck this.
Well, a lot of players do this thing where they're just sort of flailing, but just to kind of make themselves bigger. But, you know, their arm comes out. It wasn't like as like blatant as like, I'm going to slap it with my hand. He's like, yeah. I'm going to extend my arm and, hey, maybe it'll hit. I don't know. Maybe the ref might see it or whatever. But now that we are in a tournament where there is a video replay, I mean, not that that call needed that, but like it's going to be much harder. They're finding it's much harder to deceive the referees.
So they played the whole game down a man.
Down a man. And the commentary on Fox was interesting. They were basically like, didn't want Japan to win because they're like, you know, some teams actually play better with 10 men. So this could be good for Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Why would they not want Japan to win?
I think there's probably more Colombian viewers. So the commentary staff was just sort of more like leaning into just sort of being more pro-Colombia. It wasn't like that blatant because they were given their props when it was due. But then like every now and then stuff would pop up where they're like, you know, Japan really wasted their goal. They're not really doing much with it right now. Blah, blah, blah. Right. I was like, okay, well, look at the score, Poppy. It's 2-1, baby.
Russia, it looks like, is going to win again. They're up 3-1 on Egypt. So they've played Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Who's in their group?
Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay.
Wow, what a draw for Russia.
Nice
group that they drew into.
Let me make sure. That's their group. So, I mean, with this, Russia, now they've won both their games. They got 6 points. So when they play... I think they're going to be playing Uruguay on Monday.
So what do we think the chances are that this is not corrupt in some way?
I don't know, man. We won't know these stories until later on.
Right. But the documentary comes out like 5 years from now.
Right. Like, watch. Could you imagine fucking Russia just wins the World Cup?
Right.
And they're like, when Neymar's legs blew off at the hotel, like.
Turns out that wasn't normal.
Yeah, right. It wasn't just, it wasn't Nike's fault for designing a weird shoe.
Right. All right, that is going to do it for today. Miel, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Sorry, such a downer, but we will blame the world. And where can people find you, follow you?
Oh, well, if you want to hear more horribly depressing opinions, just kidding, I'm a comedian. You can follow me on Twitter at Miel, M-I-E-L, or on Instagram at @MielMonster. That's mostly where I post, to be honest.
Okay. And is there a tweet that you would like to share with the Daily Zeitgeist listeners?
Okay. I love this tweet so much. I keep retweeting it. It's from It's Dan Sheehan. And the tweet says, "The human body is incredible. Right now, if I so desired, I could do 15% of a backflip and wreck my shit right here on the sidewalk."
That's great.
Because it's true.
It is. Miles.
Hi.
Where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet that you're enjoying today?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet that I would like to put you onto is Sky Sports News, who's breaking that Arsenal confirmed the signing of German goalkeeper Bernd Leno from Bayer Leverkusen, which is good news for us Arsenal fans because Petr Cech is not doing it in goal. So, yes, that's the tweet I want to shout out.
Great.
Also, shout out to Don Pulgo for letting me know about that.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. And I wanted to call out a tweet from one of my favorite, sort of a little-known writer, J.K. Rowling. J.K. _Rowling. Someone tweeted, "Sessions says this is not like Nazi Germany because in Nazi Germany they were keeping the Jews from leaving the country." And J.K. Rowling tweeted, "Also, the president doesn't have a mustache."
Wow. Well played. But she's just kidding.
And you can follow me at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us. What's up?
No, I was just pointing because, never mind. I was just making everything JK is just kidding, and then Nick pointed it.
Oh, nice.
This is not necessary.
Oh, JK, like just kidding. Got it. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information in the episodes that we talked about, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Just a little sample-based hip-hop for y'all. Mad Lib track from the Beat Conductor Volume 1 and 2 album. You know, Egypt was playing the World Cup. So this track is called Pyramids by Mad Lib. You know, again, he's one of the great beat makers of our time. So put this in your mind and enjoy.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye. I'm not afraid to
nigga, 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 again, 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 again.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.